In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 152. I'm your host, John Senecal, and Brian Shackman, not here today, the normal co-host, but our producer extraordinaire, Matt Saroyce, has graced us with his presence.
Yeah,
and,
man.
I like this because Matt is, as you know, if anybody listens, and he is a fellow Yankee fan, so we're going to have a little bit more fun today because we don't have to do Brian's great Red Sox, whatever he calls it, his nephew's friends tip of the week or something, whatever Brian calls it. We won't have to do that this week. So basically what we're looking at, we're going to talk about the big news as far as Yankee land, other than the fact that the Yankees are playing good, is Hal Steinbrenner was on a podcast recently and talked about Juan Soto contract. So we will talk about that. We will talk about Trevor Bauer finally, calling out major league teams and executives. We'll talk about that. And we are going to touch on Matt's weight loss journey that he's kind of on. He's well into it and looking great, and we'll talk about that. But first, I want to talk about something we talked about on last episode, and it was my son's senior night for baseball. And he's obviously graduating in another couple weeks, which is starting to set in. But since we last had the podcast, we had senior night, and it was a great time, and I remember talking about how I was excited that my younger son might get a chance to play with my older son. So that did happen, but the story behind it is what's important here, and I want to share this story. And so after the game, they won the game, and they got to play together. I got the pictures and all that. But after the game, I walked up to the coach, and they were going out to talk to the players on the field, and I said real quick, I said, thank you. Thanks, coach. You know, that meant a lot to us, you know, that Austin got to play with Jackson. And he said, well, don't thank me. You got to thank Nate Hiscox. And I was like, wow, really? And Nate Hiscox is a senior, and he's a senior captain. And he was a captain last year as a junior. And I said, wow. I said, really? And he said, yeah. He goes, he texted me the other day and said that Jackson's dream, one of his dreams, was always to play with his brother. And now that might sound corny, but I'll get to that later. But he had texted the coach and said, you know, I given the circumstances, I think, you know, if the game warrants it, it would be really cool if you could get Austin in to play with Jackson, because it's really important to Jackson. And that did happen. They got to play together. And of course, you know, my wife and I were over the moon, and we got tons of pictures, and she was crying, and everyone was emotional. But I think the important thing here is how it came to be, right? You know, you got a kid. I'll call him a kid because he's still a young adult,
right? Yeah,
18 years old. But this is a guy that a kid who has played with my son for over the years through Little League and everything. They've went their separate ways since Little League. But what's great about high school baseball is all these people now come back together, right? Like they were the parents that were coaching against each other, and now they're friends, and the kids that were against each other in Little League, and now they're teammates. And Nate Hiscox is got a great story. He's a cancer survivor. He's going on like 11 years now. I'm not sure exactly what cancer he had, but it was serious enough that, you know, any cancer is serious
enough.
Right,
especially as a child, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just a great kid, and he's for him to do that meant the world to me. I gave him a big hug. It meant the world to his mother, and you know, Paul and Michelle, the parents, if you're listening, you did good. You did really well. Nate's a great kid. He's going to Lemoyne. He's going to play baseball there, and he's going to have a great future.
That's unbelievable. That's very, very cool to hear, and it makes sense that he's a captain of the team, because that's captain type behavior,
yeah,
right there, to make sure that you know, a teammate's dream is fulfilled. And there's nothing corny about that, because I mean, you know,
yeah, and getting back to quote
Moneyball, how could he not be romantic about baseball?
Right, and I say like the dream part, but it's weird because I was in the house that evening, and I just out of the corner like heard it as I was walking. My oldest son Jackson calls Austin Ace, and he goes Ace, that was just so cool. He's like, you know, you have no idea what that meant to me. And that was not like it was just a casual thing. So, like, you know, that kind of moment on top of all the other stuff just solidified it for me. So very cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's something they're going to remember for the rest of their lives, too.
Yeah.
That's something that, like, is going to come up like a best man speech down the road, like at one of their weddings.
Yeah, and now these two guys are actually going to a Yankee game together to celebrate their graduation. They're going to go Yankees-Dodgers Sunday Night Baseball.
We got them,
Paul and I. Well, the parents as gifts for them. So very cool. But yeah, so moving on, we're going to talk a little baseball. Let's talk some baseball. And of course, when you're talking baseball, you're talking Yankees baseball for us. And when Hal Steinbrenner talks, people listen. Just like when his dad talked, people listen. But he was on a podcast and he said, well, everybody in Yankee universe thinks he would love to have Juan Soto long term. Now, obviously, that is going to set off all sorts of ripple effects. But before we get into what we think dollar amounts would be, What do you take from this? Because I know that Boris doesn't do negotiations. We don't do distractions and all that. But he is the unique, once-in-a-generational player. So right. Give me your take. What do you think?
I love that they're talking about it. I really do love that they're talking about it. I love that they're open to – I love that – I should say that the Yankee brass is open to doing it during this season. The one problem that they're going to have is Scott Boris. I really feel like – because I think Juan Soto, it could be all in – the way he talks about the Yankees, the way he talks about the Hispanic culture he mentioned too as well in the city of New York, the way he was playing open to saying it, that the fan base is better in New York than in Washington and in San Diego.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be there. I think he's having a great time so far this year in the 45 games that are into the season.
Yeah.
I think he loves playing with Judge, loves playing in front of Judge or behind Judge.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to lock him up during the season.
Yeah. The other good thing I think I like about Soto is he compliments Judge very well because Judge is not a player who seeks attention.
Right.
He's like a Jeter kind of player.
Yep.
But he backs it up and he just does his thing. And Soto is, I'm not going to say he's an attention seeker, but he's flashy.
Yep.
So it's not like Judge is ever, like, I don't think Judge is ever intimidated by him because they're like, in a way, they're such different players that their game is so different that, you know, Judge struggled at the beginning of the season, right? His April was not good, and Soto's April was great, and Soto is cooled off a little in May, but he's not what Judge is in May. But there never was that, like, oh, well, you know, Judge is the main guy on this team, and Soto's doing this. Why aren't you? Like, the media didn't even bring it up.
Right.
Because I feel like they're just so complimentary that they're almost so opposite. It's great.
Absolutely, yeah. And the thing with me, too, I didn't know much about Juan Soto before, like with the Washington Nationals. When he went over to the Padres last year and I started watching a couple of those games, the discipline at his age is unmatched. And to see what he's doing this year with the Yankees already is something special. And I joke and I said I'd pay $20 for a hot dog happily if it means they're going to lock him up for the next 15 years.
Yeah, what's scary too, I mean, and when you watch baseball and you think that he's 25 years old, but he seems like he's been in the league for 10 years.
I immediately thought the other day when I was watching him, his plate discipline, the way he like slides his foot and stares at the pitcher and like knows what's coming. And he's always, even if he's down 0-2 in the count, he's never out of that at bat.
Never.
He reminds me of like a second coming of Tony Gwynn in that sense, because he seems so locked in, even with two strikes. Any count, really, it's fun to watch.
And the other thing I really enjoy watching Soto play is he hustles.
Yeah.
He never, ever gives up, dude. He runs every ball out. He gives it his all. And when you're 25 years old, I mean, I think you should be doing that no matter how old you are. But when you're 25, it helps. But I love the way he plays the game. He plays it hard. It's great. So, all right, let's talk. We got our checkbook. We don't care, right? I mean, you might have to pay $20 for a hot dog, but we got our checkbook. So give me your length and your dollar amount.
At 25 years old, it should be 13 to 15 years.
Now, these are the deals that we haven't seen in probably 5 or 6 years,
right,
in MLB.
Yeah.
Is these 13 mega deals. You know, I guess two, three years ago, there was like the Xander Bogarts and those. But I think a lot of people are stung by those deals. They're a little scared and hesitant about those deals. But again, those guys were older, like you said,
yeah,
25.
Exactly, yeah.
So 13 years, 12, 13 years. And what are we looking at dollar figures?
Oof, man. You got
to bring the calculator out.
You got to think it's going to be $500 million.
Now he turned down 15 years, $440 million in 2022 before the 2022 season from the Nats. And that would average out to around 29, just under 30 a year.
Right.
Now, we all know that if you would have signed that deal, the Nats, they'd be laughing all the way to the bank knowing that they got him with $30 million a year. Let's see, 13 years at 45, we're looking at $585 million. So Judge is what, $40 million? So he's going to get north of Judge. And again, like we talked about, I don't think it matters. It's not going to matter.
Well, the whole thing with deferred money now, too. I mean,
you can get creative.
I mean, the whole Shohei contract is so telling that, you know, you can do anything with
money. He doesn't strike me as an AAV guy, though.
No.
Like, Boris, that scares me because I feel like he might get in his head and be like, you want to be the highest paid player in baseball. Yes. That's what you need to be. But part of me thinks, given to what you said about the way he embraced New York and his culture, he might veto and override that sentiment, I think. And I hope that's what it comes
out. I would hope so, too. This is why I said at the beginning, my one worry is Scott Boras, because he is the highest paid agent in all of sports.
Right.
And he's that guy that will make sure he can get his cut while his players are getting it. And, I mean, I guess that's why he has 1,000 clients like he does, because he's the best at what he does. And he's the best at getting paid, and he's best at getting his players paid.
Let me throw this number out to you. At 25 years old, 15 years, $50 million a year. That comes out to $750 million. Puts him through his whole, regardless, his whole career. He's not going to play competitively, most likely, past 40. But that also says you are the highest paid.
Right.
You blow away Shohei, no matter how you defer it or how you send a statement. If you present that contract to him at the All-Star break, I don't see how he could turn that down. I just don't see it.
I don't either, especially if the Yankees are in first place by then and like 15, 20 games over 500 or something, and he's having as much fun as he's having right now, it seems. Yeah, I think he signs on a dotted line right there.
And I would think $50 million a year for a player like him, regardless of – now, say he gets hurt two or three of those years, right? Going rate, I think, is going to be north of that by the time that contract runs out. Now, are you scared to go 15 years with a guy who's 25? I wouldn't be, really, because you're going to be eating the back end of Judge's contract, most likely.
Yeah.
You're going to be eating the back end of all these contracts. But speaking for the Yankees' perspective, he's, like they said, generational, once in a lifetime, the marketability, the city, the culture. I think it's a no-brainer. It's just a matter of the dollar figures. And what better way to send a statement than blow away Shohei's deal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that would be the biggest statement. And, you know, if it's a trouble of getting it done with a luxury tax or something like that, I'm absolutely positive that Judge would restructure his deal to get a deferred payments or
I wonder if they can restructure deals, MLB. They're so, you never, really hear about it, and I wonder if it actually happens or if it's just all closed-door stuff, because NFL, you hear about it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's I can go days about how crappy those contracts are, but I don't know about MLB, but all right, we'll move on from the Soto stuff. We both want him here. I think every Yankee fan in their right mind wants him there. It's just a matter of, how much are we going to pay for tickets in 2035, right?
Yeah.
All right. Fan base, a deep dive in the greatest rivalry of sports. John Senecal here. Matt Sorois, our producer extraordinaire, joining me on the mic. Let's talk Trevor Bauer, all right? Trevor Bauer has been in the news for multiple reasons in the last year, 2-3 years, right? Going back to his Dodger days. Let's talk current Trevor Bauer. He just came out, and I want to read what he said, all right? And this is what he said after his latest outing, where he looks great. Let's move on. How great he looks. We're going to talk about.
I mean, aside from Mexican League, Japanese League, wherever he's playing, he looks good on the mound.
He's performing. He's throwing. Yeah. He's throwing what he should. All right. Let's see what he said. Trevor Bauer said, "There's not a single MLB team out there that has three starters better than me, let alone five. And I'm as cheap or cheaper than any of them, since I'm willing to play for the league minimum. And even though I have the support of players, coaches, fans, managers, and GMs league-wide, every time they go to the owner to sign me, they're told no. Makes you wonder who is telling all the owners not to sign me." I mean,
it's a good question.
There's literally no question about what he's saying here.
Yeah. I mean, is it the commissioner of baseball? Who knows?
So Commissioner of Baseball, I think, obviously, that's probably where the buck stops, right?
Yeah.
Because he's the final guy. And Trevor Bauer has been a thorn in MLB's side since he came on board. right from the sticky spin rate crap where he was calling everybody out. Like, almost same thing. Everything he's talked about has been pretty much standard key, right?
He was the one that, like, launched the ball over the center field wall when Terry Francona went to go get him, right?
Yeah, right. And they don't like that. But this other guy just recently forgets how many outs there are, and he does the same thing, and they're laughing about it on SportsCenter. And exactly. But Trevor Bauer does it. He's a jackass, right? Because he's got a history. And listen, there's got to be a reason why he's on so many different teams leading up to the whole sexual whatever scandal, right? He couldn't stick. Like, there's got to be a personality issue with him. But that said, he's also got the balls to come out finally and call everyone out. I mean, this is almost like his last. I think he's shooting his shot. This is his shot.
Last ditch effort, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I would agree with you. But I mean, it's literally no risk. At the beginning of the season, first of all, I don't think the Yankees need him right now.
No.
I don't think they need him. Even at $500,000.
But there's plenty of teams that could use him.
Absolutely. Even out of the bullpen.
But I mean, do they want the PR nightmare? Because listen, you know, regardless of where he goes, there's going to be, the way it's been hyped and from what he said, there's going to be questions. Yep. I don't care if he's in Florida, Arizona, Chicago, wherever he is, it's going to follow him. So that said, Boston's not going to bite. LA is definitely not going to bite. The Yankees aren't going to bite. These teams that are gelling well, playing well, Atlanta, Philly, that could use him, I don't think are going to bite.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And it's kind of upsetting because a pitcher like that was performing at his level and even did when he was in the majors too, still, before all this happened.
Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, he should get another shot. And I mean, the risk is the thing to me that just makes the most sense.
There's absolutely zero financial risk when it comes to terms of Major League Baseball and quality of play and quality of starters. There's zero. Let's just get beyond that. This is all a PR risk. This is a personality risk. Mm-hmm. And this is the owners not being able to sit at their next big, huge owners meeting, golfing event, and not be looked at by the other 29 owners like they're a jackass.
Yeah.
Or that one owner taking a chance and riding him to the playoffs or whatever and looking at everyone else and being like, ha ha.
You messed up.
You messed up. But that's why I say there's got to be a collusion aspect from the top down. Manfred.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
I would completely agree with you in that. Absolutely. Because, I mean, who wouldn't want to spend, I said this at the beginning of the year too, say the Yankees or the Sox signed him for $500,000. He went in and he got shelled his first like three starts. All right, back to Japan you go. Thanks for your service.
Right.
We tried.
We gave you a shot. Yeah. You said you could do it. You did.
That's the low risk of it. You could just be like, well, you know what? He gave you three shots. You screwed up.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Here's his numbers that he's done since he's left MLB. So he's basically had 32 starts, which is a full season pretty much across the board, which includes Japan, playing against U.S. competition in the spring this year, including the Yankees, minor leaguers, and some, I believe some of the majors, like Oswaldo Peraza and those guys were playing, and in the Mexican League, all right? So he's got 24 games in Japan, 156 innings pitched, 160 Ks with a 2.59 ERA. Two games against U.S. competition, six innings, seven Ks, zero runs. So far this year, what he's been pitching in, basically the Mexican, whatever league you want to call it, six games, 35 innings, 55 Ks, 1.80 ERA, which also includes one immaculate inning, which I believe has only been done professionally maybe three times in the last two or three years across all professional sports.
I mean, that's an all-star potential Cy Young numbers. Like, it's crazy to me that he's not on a major league team.
Yeah, I don't get it. We reached out to him through Instagram messages and whatever, but nothing here back. I didn't think he would, but listen, I mean, I would love to talk to him. I mean, he shot his shot. I don't think he's going to say anything revolutionary, but I would love to have him be like, what the hell?
Tell us that, you know?
All right, so if you're going out on a limb, will we see Trevor Bauer pitch in the MLB ever again, let alone this year?
Ever again, I think so. I'd say yes, but not this year.
But is it going to be one of those, like, 39-year-old, like, well, you know, like, because, I mean, they still haven't given Pete a chance.
I know. Yeah, and that, God, don't get me started on
right?
that.
And then think about the politicking for Pete, going all the way back to the 90s World Series with the Yankees and stuff. I mean, on post-game interviews. It's like, that guy can't get a shot. So Major League Baseball is a weird, weird organization. You get on that wrong door, man. You go through that. It's like Monsters, Inc., man. You don't want to go through the wrong door. Damn. You don't know where you're going to end up. I'm going to say Trevor Bauer, you're not going to see him again. I just don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, he's financially, I'm sure he's fine. He's got his YouTube following. He's got money from the Dodgers. He's got guaranteed contracts. He'll be all right. I think right now it's more of like, you know, he is an ego stroke. Plus, yeah. I'll go out there. I mean, I think he's good enough. He deserves a second chance. I've said it once. I'll say it again.
I do, too. Even if you're not going to start him, bring him out of the bullpen, middle reliever.
Yeah.
I think he would be outstanding in that role.
Give the guy a shot. Give the guy a shot. All right. Moving on. So let's talk weight loss journey.
Yeah.
Let's talk weight loss journey. So you thought to yourself, give me an idea of what you all of a sudden maybe, like for me, it was like I stopped drinking because I realized like I don't want to, like my kids to see me doing it. And I wanted like obviously also make a better, healthier lifestyle. But was there a trigger for you or was there something where you're like, all right, listen, I got to start doing something?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take it back to 2018-ish, end of 2018. Just proposed to my now wife. And I was like, I watched the proposal video and I was like, Jesus, like, dude, what are you doing? You had trouble getting back up off your knee. Like, it's time to get your shit together.
Right.
For the wedding, especially, you know? I ended up losing 100 pounds before the wedding, which was outstanding. Never felt better.
And this is what year?
2019.
Okay.
Of October, we got married. Looked great in all the photos. As soon as we hit the plane for Vegas for our honeymoon,
yeah,
buffets
all the way,
screwing up, 100 pounds comes back quick, bro.
Yeah,
it comes back quick. So stayed at that weight again for until about last year. You know, I just felt uncomfortable again. Couldn't like, and then plus my son turned 2 years old,
right?
And I was like, I gotta do something quick, and I started doing light weights and everything like that, then put those down, and then blah-de-blah-de-blah. And then the radio station here, at the radio station, we got a client, Awaken 180 Weight Loss, and they're actually the official weight loss group of the Boston Red Sox, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Figure. And they asked, you know, certain radio personalities if they wanted to jump on, and I was like, yes, absolutely. Let me do this. Let me find out what this is about.
Right.
And immediately start with 10 pounds off the first week, another 5 the next week, another 5 the next week.
And this is something you're still doing?
Yeah, yep. I'm still doing it right now. I'm down 80 pounds right now after like 9 months, and stalled out a little bit because, again, old habits.
Right.
Old habits come back. You know, you do good for like the week, and then the weekend hits, and you're like, yeah, I'll order a Domino's pizza.
Well, I mean, I think for
polish that off.
For someone who, like, for myself, right, I think it's a lot easier for me to avoid alcohol than it is for you to avoid food, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's so much easier. Yeah. Like, I don't want to go to a party, I don't go to a party. I don't want to drive. The hardest thing for me would be driving past a package store, which is on every corner of the state, right? But especially like if you're...
It's the same thing for me with a Taco Bell or McDonald's.
Right, and you also have a young child too. So you're at all these gatherings and events.
Always.
And like, there's never a party you're going to be at that's not going to have cake and cookies
right.
and all this other accoutrement that you could be shoving. So for you, was it always like a food issue? Like growing up, did you were you like overweight or what? Your whole life?
Yep, since middle school, the doctors were like, oh, you got to lose weight. And I'm like, yeah, all right. In high school, you know, playing football first year.
Right.
You know, the coaches are like, yeah, you're on the offensive line. You know, you got to beef up a little bit, blah, blah, blah. So, all right, yeah, I'll have another sleeve of Oreos. I'll have more cake or whatever. You know, I got to block this guy on the line on Friday night. And then, you know, worst came to worst, older.
Yeah.
You know, it gets harder as you get older. And, and then soon enough, I was
So for now, what is it that you do? Is it all more diet? Is it diet and exercise? Because I know, like, I follow you, like, on social media, and I know your wife is a super good cook. And
I'm
sure
she's,
like, she's 100% on board. Does she have to, like, make you separate meals and your son? It's like, how does...
No, that's the beautiful thing about the Awaken 180. I feel like I'm doing an ad right now, but I'm not. but I mean, they give you, like, a whole plan to go with.
Yep.
You know, weigh out everything, measure everything, make sure you're not overeating. But the great thing about that program is you're like eating all day, and it's like high protein, and it's working very, very well. Now, I'm not hungry throughout the day, which is good. You know,
are you a program kind of guy? Because like my wife, she's not like overweight, but like every other woman, she's always like, oh, I gotta lose weight, and she'll do like, you know, she has a nutritionist now, and I don't know how long that will last, but it's like, you know, she has all the exercise stuff, and she works out like a jerk, but for her, it's like if she eats any sort of sugar or any sort of carb, it's like it goes right on her.
Yeah,
but like, it's not like she doesn't try. She's always working out. She runs marathons. She does all that stuff. So she has to be conscious about those two things, right? So right. Are you someone that needs a program to do it, or could you do this without and just be like, no, I got it. I just got to cut this out.
No, absolutely need the program.
Yeah, because
I need the accountability,
right.
which is great with this because I go every single week for a weigh-in. And I talked to the coaches over there, and they, you know, help me with this, say, okay, we're just screw up this week. You know, what can we correct this week? And everything. I need that accountability every single week. And I'm thankful for my wife, too, because she's very, very militant with me. With the way she cooks, she weighs everything out. She does everything, like, basically for me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I also need because I don't know how to cook toast.
Yeah. Now, is it? Do you have, like, a certain, like, overall goal? Like, you want to lose 100 pounds?
I want to lose, like, 150 pounds.
Okay, totally.
Yeah, I'll be right on open with you. My highest weight was 435. And when I stepped on the scale that day, I was like, Jesus Christ, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing? Like, I didn't feel 435 either.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you don't, especially at age 35.
Yeah. Now, do you what, other than the physical appearance? Because I, you know, if someone's seen you,
yeah,
and for the last 2 or 3 years, you notice it right away. But other than that, what do you notice? I mean, like you talked about getting up off your knee and all that other stuff, like stairs, like that, more energy with your kid. Are you noticing?
Absolutely. Yeah, way more energy. I mean, just like last week, 2 weeks ago, I went to the Yankee game. We took the train in.
Yep.
And that walk from the train.
It's not short.
Plus the stairs and everything.
Yeah.
I was like, I would be deceased on the side of the road, literally, because I would be having to take breaks, you know, breathing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like nothing now. And I'm still, you know, 80 pounds down.
Right.
Still, like, 355 right now.
Yeah.
Which is, like, heavy as hell.
Right.
And I can't be that way either, you know. I still have to lose another 70 pounds.
Well, it's good.
My doctor wants me to get down to 180. And I'm like, dude, I'm not looking for donations. I'm not looking to look sick.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was like, 180, I will look sick.
Yeah, I weigh 180.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's not me, bro. that ain't me.
Slow your roll, Doc.
Yeah.
That's baby steps here. But it's great. I commend you. I mean, it's obviously just like anything else, like talking about it for anything isn't easy. So it's, you know, obviously it's good that you talk about it. You are definitely changing right before our eyes. So keep up the good work.
Thanks, man.
And I think that's it. I think that's all we got for this week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I'll give you my Yankees hot take. I love the fact that Judge is cranking up. I love the fact there's no bad news about Cole. And I love the fact that they went into Houston and whooped the crap out of one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah, I mean to shut out the Twins for 26 straight innings was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was that one home run they had in the first inning on the Tuesday game over Rodon, which was obviously a mistake pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that one pitch away from shutting them out for three straight games.
I know.
It's crazy.
And the pitching staff is just looks so good. I mean, to think that you could actually hopefully get Garrett Cole back and have the if you have 85% Garrett Cole, the Yankees are going to be very dangerous. And I would be willing to bet that if they need any sort of piece of the puzzle, that they'll go get it. And DJ's not back yet, too. They're doing all this without DJ and Cole.
Yeah.
And a Judge that just started hitting. So good things to come with the Yankees. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. So, all right, that's it. That's all we got for this week. This is episode 152 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.